the good agents are the ones that are able to deliver timely dialogue with regards to price and not protect their owner's dream price, because ultimately that's a figure that we hope would get achieved. But if the market's saying something different, your owners are only going to make a decision, yes or no. They're either going to decide to sell or stay, but they can't make that decision if you aren't giving them that dialogue.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the coolest minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Spring selling season is almost upon us, so who better to have on the show this week than one of Australia's favourite auctioneers, Stu Benson. Stu founded Benson Auctions in 2010, and to say he is passionate about the auction process as a method of sale would be an understatement. Over the years, he has built up a loyal local clientele plus a swag of fans for his refreshingly honest approach to social media, life in general, and of course, trusting the process. In this podcast, you're going to hear about some of the strategies Stu has for running successful auction campaigns, how to approach marketing, how Stu balances the demands of a young family with a growing business, and much, much more. Also, something we haven't done since we interviewed Rick Rushton at Christmas last year is to get out our rapid-fire word association game, which was a pretty fun thing to do with Stu, but you'll have to listen right to the end for that. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and if you do, please share it with your industry colleagues and, of course, hit that iTunes subscribe button. Now, if you're out walking or driving, we want you to relax and enjoy the show, and besides, it's kind of difficult to write notes if you happen to be doing either. So we've done the work for you, and for about a week, you can download a free action guide for this podcast at eliteagentelevate.com. These action guides are all the best value bombs from our guests in bullet point form. No fluff, no SEO fillers, no junk, just the very, very best stuff from this episode. And with Stu, as with most of our guests, there are a ton of light bulb moments that you're going to want to remember and perhaps implement when you get back to the office. So grab those notes quickly at eliteagentelevate.com. That's it from me for this week. There is something in this episode for everyone. Enjoy. All right, so welcome to the podcast, Stu Benson.
Thank you for having me, Samantha.
Well, we've been trying to get you in here for ages and ages and ages.
I know.
But you're a busy guy.
My car has this thing with wanting to jump on the M2. It just wants to wants to turn around and about face back into the Hills District.
Well, it's good to see you in the city and great to have you on the show. So, just for people that perhaps don't know you so well, because we all know you quite well in Sydney because you're one of our best auctioneers and you've had a go at the block.
I have. Still trying to get back on again. We'll see. Watch this space.
But then you'd have to go to Melbourne.
This is true. And again, my car, M2, might not be possible.
I know. Okay. So, tell us, who is Stu Benson?
Firstly, I am, I guess if I start from the fundamentals, I am 38 years of age. I've been in real estate since I was almost 21. So, I'm coming up on 19 full years in the game.
Wow.
I started off at an entry level in an office running around delivering contracts to solicitors and conveyances, knocking up signs and attending open homes on Saturdays. And through fortune, an agent left in a good territory and I jumped into it. And I did the whole agent thing, and I did that for almost 3 years. One of my duties was to drop off our marketing every week at the local newspaper. I was the only person in the office who knew how to use a computer, which is fantastic because when I started, the portals were starting to deliver email inquiries, finally. We were on them, but they never really yielded a result. And I was the only person who could access our sales at email address. So, I was the only person who knew that we were getting email inquiries.
That's power. That is real power.
And sure enough, every week, the boss would come in and, you know, how's our email inquiry? And I would just look at him blankly and knowing that I just printed out our 10 leads and I'd hit the ground running. So, I used to drop off our ads at the local newspaper. They offered me a job. I did 15 years almost at the Domain Group. And in the site, I started running my own auction business. And that's where we are today.
What drew you into becoming an auctioneer?
I was giving a presentation on behalf of the Domain Group and a couple of agents pulled me to the site. We had a couple of technical issues and the microphone that I was given actually didn't work. So, I stood in front of a room full of, I'd imagine, about 150, 200 agents. And I projected my voice quite well. I held the room and everybody at the back could hear me. And a couple of agents literally approached me afterwards and said, Stu, you've got a pretty big voice when you want it. Have you ever thought about being an auctioneer? And I said to them, look, if it was something that I ever went down the road of doing, would you hire me? And they said that they would. And sure enough, I went down that road and they held their side of the thing and they booked me. So, it kind of just organically happened.
And now, so you spent quite a lot of time at Domain Group and now you're exclusively an auctioneer in your own business in Benson Auctions. So, what was it like making the leap from, let's call it the safe corporate job into your own business?
It was one of those, you know, do I leave the nest sort of scenarios. And I just knew that for my business to become all I wanted it to be, I needed to dedicate more time to it. And like anything, I think the more time you invest in something, you're going to get a better yield. So, yeah, it was a huge decision. I'm a father. I've got four kids. I've got a mortgage. I've got debts. I've got things that I want to do. And yeah, that corporate life, that Monday to Friday 9 to 5 was the safety net. But I knew that if Benson Auctions was to grow and to organically be what I wanted it to be, a decision had to be made. And so, I just went all in. And here we are. We've just clocked over 2 years later.
Mm.
And we're surviving. The market's been tough. Probably wasn't the best time to have done it. I mean, no sooner had I decided to do that, the things started to just sort of turn a bit of a corner and the heat came out of the market. Not that my decision was heat-based. We knew it wasn't going to last forever, but I don't think anybody in the real estate industry foresaw how steep the fall would be. But the resilience that my business has seen throughout it, builds me with confidence moving forward.
Mm. At the moment, we know that the market has come off quite a bit and volumes are quite low at the moment. I think in some places, people are saying it's the worst that they've seen in 10 years, like
easily.
People that have been through a number of cycles. What do you make of the conditions out there right now and is there any sunshine on the horizon?
Up in the Hills District in particular and talking to agents across the broader Sydney market, I mean, you've got to remember that, you know, 15 years doing what I did, I have a great network of agents, not only in Sydney, but also nationally. But if we were to talk locally, I guess, suburbs with 40, 50, 60% stock level down year on year or 2 year on year is certainly common. So, I think the good thing is that in the 11 Saturdays or 12 Saturdays now post-election, the clearance rates have been sitting in the 70% mark. Which, whilst not indicative of the entire marketplace, I mean, we always have to remember that auctions only represent maybe 15% of all sales, but they're a huge social driver of confidence and they're the layman's barometer of what's going on in the market. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith out at Penrith, who don't really know a lot about the property market, they know that 70% sounds pretty good. So, it's a big driver of sentiment. And I think that shows that maybe things are leveling off. I don't foresee great price growth over the next probably 18 months, but I'd take stability any day of the week over the drops that we've seen. And I think, as I said, in the 11, 12 weeks post-election, we've had stability and we've had great clearance rates. So, it's seeming like it's found its level.
So, with spring just around the corner, what are you expecting?
I know, looking at my own personal diary and speaking to other auctioneers, that there is certainly more auction stock coming on. I do hope that flows through and that's an indicator of to what the broader marketplace is doing. Thankfully, what we've had is the market conditioning sellers. I guess if you go back 12 months ago, people were still hoping for the prices of 6 months before that. And they were heat prices.
Mm.
So, there's a lot of problems with conditioning and a lot of gaps and a lot of properties trialing the market, hoping for the dream price and then pulling off and going off the market 3 months later because it just wasn't there. What we're finding now is that properties that are coming to the market, the 12 months of sales that they're looking at have been the ones that have been happening during the downturn, during the correctional phase and during the market plateauing. So, thankfully, the ones that are coming onto the market at the moment, they've been attuned to reality as opposed to, again, going back 12 months. The ones that were still hopeful of the dream price. So, I would say in more cases than not, we're going to see almost anything that goes to market sell. I do think the ones that go to auction will sell competitively. But again, in speaking to a lot of agents, pipelines aren't overflowing. And I think the people who are still hoping to make a couple of hundred grand are still going to sit back and wait. And to have a stable market isn't going to be enough for them to pull the trigger to sell. They want things to swing up. And I think that's still maybe 18 months away.
Yeah, so you think a lot of people are just going to sit, so we're not going to see a massive uptick in volumes this year?
I personally don't think so. I wish it would. I really wish that the conversation would be that people wouldn't look at perhaps the $100,000 they might make in another year or two if they wait and flip the conversation around and realize that now's the best time to buy. The savvy people, this is the sort of market, the flat market, is when they make money. And it's a great time to transition up into that dream home. You know, you've got to remember that if your home goes up 10%, so does theirs. And if you're buying and selling in the same market, that's okay. But stamp duty is never relevant. So, it does cost you more. And the, oh, I'm buying and selling in the same market argument, it's never the same. I think now's a great time. And I know I say that as a real estate agent, and I know my audience right now are real estate agents and we're all nodding. But honestly, it is a great time to be a transitional buyer.
Mm. Say an agent's got a vendor on the fence, like they've been talking to them for a few months now about whether or not it's a good time to sell.
Yep.
What's the sort of conversation that the agent should be having to sort of say, okay, this may be the right time for you?
I think like anything, I mean, you've got to identify the motivation. You've got to find out what they're trying to do. If it is to get into a certain suburb, do some research on that suburb and know what it is that they're trying to achieve and I guess become ingrained in their journey. And knowing a little bit more or a lot more about their circumstances and where they're trying to transition to, it can certainly help that dialogue. If they're looking into an area that hasn't had a spike in listings volume for the next 6 months, you can probably be pretty confident forecasting that that's not going to change. And so, what are they waiting for? And why not now? And so, I guess, like anything, when it comes to, you know, our game, knowing as much as you can about the seller's circumstances is going to give you, you know, as much real-time dialogue and ammunition, I guess, for lack of a better description, to actually get them to make those decisions. But again, if they're on the fence, the low stock is the biggest driver at the moment. I would be so, I guess, much more happier if I was personally selling my home, if I was one of five that people were looking at, as opposed to one of 25, because it is the numbers game. And I know we all know it, and I know we all say it, but mums and dads who sell once every 7 years, they might not understand it as well as we do. So, it sounds like we're going back to basics, but you've got to remember, you're talking to a homeowner, not a real estate agent, and just reminding them about the numbers game and how that benefits them as a seller.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's really is about staying close to the people in your local area and, you know, having those regular conversations with them like a regular human being about
when. Absolutely. When they talk to us, they know that the dialogue is going to be real estate related. They get that. You know, they open their door and they expect to talk to us, or they bump into us and they expect to talk to us. But they also do that because we're the person that's going to eventually, hopefully, steer them in the right direction when it comes time. I mean, we are their real estate professionals. So, you know, unashamedly tell them what's going on in the local marketplace. It might just be the right day that they decide to make that decision and you're the one that had it with them. So, again, don't be afraid of being who you are and talking about what you do. You're the one who lives and breathes it. And I think for the most part, unless you're absolutely breathing it down their neck every second day, I think they're going to appreciate it.
Like, oh my God, I think this agent wants me to move again.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. If they see you across the street and look at their shoe and walk fastly off in the other direction, you're overkilling it. Give them a couple of days.
Yep. So, what are you doing at the moment to prepare yourself for the busy season ahead?
Look, I'm getting in agents' inboxes and in their ears and in the text messages and just reminding them that they need to get in early. When it comes to your auctioneer, don't call them the day before it goes live onto domainandrealestate.com.au. You know, everyone's vying for a position in our diaries. And so, my dialogue is just essentially with the agents. You know, the second that ink dries on that agency agreement, when you're driving home from that 9 o'clock appointment at night, I don't mind. Call me up. Let's talk dates. Let's talk times. And let's forecast it, even if it's 8 weeks in advance, even if this thing's got to get renovated, styled and ready, you know, for photographs, earlier the better. And just, I guess, personally, my Monday to Friday 9 to 5s are just meeting with agents just to refresh the dialogue. You know, there's no shame in going back to basics and having a chat about what works, what doesn't work. You know, maybe you're a gun auction agent in a hot market and this is new to you. Well, you know, I've been, you know, 19 years in real estate. I've seen a lot of cycles and I've been auctioning now for 10 years. So, whilst it's not an old dog new trick scenario, and I do auction for agents who've been in the game for twice as long as I have, but they still don't call 600 auctions a year.
Mm.
So, yeah, a lot of what I'm doing at the moment to keep myself busy is just going back to basics and making sure that come auction day, my guys are ready to go.
What sort of marketing do you think is really successful in this market for
all of auction? The marketing?
All of the marketing.
All of the things. Look, it really is. I'm huge on marketing. No stone unturned. if I was to sell my home, it would be the one non-negotiable for me. It would just be, I would be sitting down saying, what can we do? And then when they presented that, my next question would be, and what else could we do? And that's honestly, I say that honestly. I see it as a short-term investment in my property. I honestly, if an agent came and put a $6,000 marketing package in front of me, I would realize that $6,000 is going to turn into one extra bid on auction day. From one extra bidder, because we cast the net as wide as possible. Facebook is obviously very attractive to target audiences. I think video marketing at the moment is a huge non-negotiable for me. Not slideshow videos and, you know, Microsoft Paint videos and things that you see. I think you go all in. But yeah, look, there's nothing that I wouldn't try, to be perfectly honest. Even print publications at the moment, that is a part of the path to purchase. Even if it only reaches an influencer, and that is to say that a young couple are looking to buy a home and mum and dad see the ad and mum and dad steer them towards it. Again, no stone unturned for me.
You've got to strike that balance between, you know, because vendors are generally paying for advertising. Yep. And wanting to go all in.
Yep.
So, what do you say to the person who is thinking to themselves, well, I'm not going to get the dream price for my property that I was going to get 12 months ago, and yet I've still got to pay all this money for marketing? How do you balance that?
Yep. For lack of a better description, it can still get worse. You know, a fair market value can still not be achieved if the right people aren't at your auction, or the right people aren't coming to your property just by virtue of your private treaty open for inspection. So, again, it's the numbers game, and how do I get those numbers? And it blows my mind, honestly, and I know some of my agents that I auction for are going to hear this and cringe because I get on them about it, but the cost saving, you know, I'm going to save $800 and not go on domain. Really? It really blows my mind. And look, okay, that might be an owner making that decision, but I think the agent needs to get better at justifying that spend and validating how important it is to appeal to that unique audience. Or there are agents that are pulling off realestate.com.au or listing on realestate.com.au a week later, and they'll go off market for the first week and sell it in 3 days. And sure, okay, a sale in 3 days is great, okay? It gets the owners moved, and particularly their circumstance, that might just be what they wanted to do, a quick sale, a good sale. But did they leave 50 grand on the table? Did they leave 100 grand on the table? Did they not open the door to competition? It obviously steers all of my conversations towards the auction arena. But I still think in a private treaty circumstance, the owner has to want top dollar. And that then ultimately leads back down to the numbers game. And what are you doing to make sure that it is a numbers game? Give your agent the best ammunition possible, the most amount of people to talk to.
So, right now, would you say every property is an auction property?
I would always say that. No, I genuinely would. And I know there are people who don't believe that, but I know fantastic auction agents in Perth. And Perth's been tough for the best part of the last 7-8 years. But they are auction agents. It's what they do. You know, you go down to Adelaide and you look at various factors like median house price, the jobs market, economy and things like that. They are just auction agents. That's just what they do. So, I think fundamentally, if there is a belief in the process and a methodology to follow the process through, and, you know, perhaps you would hashtag trust the process.
I was trying.
I don't.
Thank you. I was just trying to get you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you playing buzzword bingo out there.
Yeah. He said it.
He said it.
Take a shot. So, but I do. And I think, you know, you look at top 10 lists of any denomination, wherever they've come from and wherever they're derived from, but you look at the top agents in the country, and it doesn't matter what the economy is doing, it doesn't matter what the interest rate's doing, it doesn't matter what the local marketplace is doing. And for that reason, it instills me with the belief that what we do is a cut, copy and paste process, and good agents can employ it, whatever the property, whatever the market.
What are the good agents doing right now that you're working with?
Ooh, they're very good at honest dialogue when it comes to price expectation. Protecting price doesn't get anybody paid. It doesn't get the agent paid, but it doesn't get the vendor a result either. And you've got to remember that their decision to go to market and sell the property is obviously one that they've considered. They've employed you and they want to move more often than not. You get ones who will put their toe in the market. If they get that knockout offer, they'll take it. But more often than not, whether or not they've told you that they're getting the divorce, or they've told you that they need to downsize because they need to put extra money into the bank to pay off the investment property in Queensland, you never know the whole story. However, the good agents are the ones that are able to deliver timely dialogue with regards to price and not protect their owner's dream price, because ultimately, that's a figure that, look, we hope would get achieved. But if the market's saying something different, your owners are only going to make a decision, yes or no. They're either going to decide to sell or stay. It literally is a binary black or white. but they can't make that decision if you aren't giving them that dialogue. And I can tell the good agents when I get to auction day, the vendors still won't have a lofty reserve, but they're very willing to move if the market does what the agent said the market would do. Whereas then I get to other auctions and there are vendors who I know haven't been given any tough dialogue during the campaign or any doses of reality. And so, come auction day, their head's in the cloud. And when the market speaks and the market says what they've been saying for the last 4 weeks, but it's news to them, auction day can be a shock and it can be a huge disappointment. And I imagine that would be the same in the private treaty arena as well. I really think that if you're getting 4 weeks into a campaign and you haven't been good enough at the relationship aspect and you haven't delivered the right dialogue to your seller, you're not doing your job properly.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you're passionate about auctions. And one of the things that we love about you is that your energy is completely infectious. You know, whether it's on social media or, I mean, you've been on our influencers list for a couple of years. You managed to balance a big, wonderful family, you said 4 kids,
yep,
with a busy, yes, career in real estate, which is no mean feat. How do you do it?
I think energy is directly proportionate to passion. And I think if you love something, you're going to give it your all. And if you find enjoyment in it, and I am one of those people who just, I genuinely love what I do. And so, it helps. You know, I think there are a lot of people, and I'm not going to single anybody out, I'm not going to name names, but I think there are a lot of people who do this because they think it's their lane. And I think there are some practitioners out there who have been grinding this axe for far too long and they'd be better off doing a Monday to Friday 9 to 5. I catch up with them and I see the drain on their face about how tough this market is, and I get it. Whereas me, on the other hand, as tough as this has been, and don't get me wrong, auction volume across the Sydney Metro marketplace has been down 50% year on year. Auction volume is proportionate to listing volume because it still remains about the same proportion of active listings, and listings have been down. This has been my toughest year in business, not only in the 2 years as an independent, my 10 years as a practitioner, as an auctioneer, and probably in my 20-odd years of being a grown-up.
Yeah.
But it's my enthusiasm for what I do and the privilege I get from actually doing it that I think comes out in my social and it comes out in my videos. And I do want everyone to trust the process. Hand on heart, I do. Take another shot, guys. I said it again. But I genuinely do. Like, I want people to be empowered by my enthusiasm. And there are great agents that I see doing it as well. And I love that I do it. And I jump onto Facebook and I see them doing their thing and I love it. And I don't think anybody on Facebook gives out more love reactions than me. I love what everybody's doing and I want everybody to feel that. And I genuinely, and then I take that home and I've got 4 great kids and they're happy and they're healthy and we've got a roof over our head and it hasn't been the best year. And we haven't gone on holidays and you're not going to see me in the Amalfi Coast or skiing, you know, the Alps.
No
Greekathon for me this year. Damn it, that makes 38 years in a row. But you know what? It's the small things. It's the smiles. It's the happiness. Most offices I walk into, by the time I walk out an hour later, we're all pretty positive about, you know, the outcome. And so, I just try and make it as infectious as possible because it's a bloody tough job.
Absolutely. So, do you do all the memes yourself?
Yeah. So, I do everything myself. So, the videos, the memes, the photoshopping, it's all me. So, when I left high school, I had lofty aspirations of being a graphic designer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, I went and did a year at TAFE doing a diploma in graphic design. And then I started looking at jobs and realizing that the entry-level jobs in graphic design were, I would literally make more money stacking shelves at Woolworths for 3 days a week. And so, I quickly nixed that and got away from that. But no, so that's always been my passion. So, my computer's always had Photoshop on it and I've always, so yeah, everything you see is me mucking around at night.
You're better at it than I am.
Well, I don't know. It's just I'm quite an insomniac. I'm either up going down a rabbit hole of YouTube or Wikipedia, useless stuff. I'm the guy that you want on your table at trivia or the phone a friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
All right.
Honestly, my brain is a canister of useless information.
If we can get you down to Crow's Nest, let's do it.
I'm there.
What is the most valuable piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
Oh, wow. Gee whiz, that's a
it's a tough question.
That's a tough on the spot one. My dad always said to me, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. And I do worry that some of these young agents that are going around with the leases and some of the best agents I know park around the corner and walk 4 houses down anyway, just in case they see somebody. just in case they see a neighbor or meet a neighbor. It's not about parking out the front and nobody cares what car they've got. But yeah, as a business person, it's held me in good stead because my overheads are completely low and I do watch what I spend. And that has equipped me for a downturn market and the uncertainty of real estate. You never know when the next hotshot auctioneer or the next hotshot agent's going to open up and take market share and go and be a 1% including GST agent. And all of a sudden it upsets your apple cart and you didn't forecast for it. But I had a sales manager back in the day, back at the Domain Group, and he was always huge about forming relationships with people. He was just honestly, Stu, they will buy off you, they will take your advice, and you will be the one that they turn to if you get along with them and just be a nice person. And honestly, and I never really thought of it like that. I looked at every single person that I had a contact with in my 3 years previously in real estate as a dollar value, and I saw everybody as a transaction. And if somebody said, oh, we're not selling for 6 months, I'd go off them a little bit.
Mm.
Or I probably should have just kept on catching up with them. And then 6 months later, I didn't get the listing because I kind of gone off them a bit because to me, they weren't the next dollar. So, they weren't the next transaction. And because they weren't the next transaction, they're off my list. And I looked at everybody as a buying or selling commodity. And we say this is the business of relationships and it truly is. And I think when my old manager said to me, just form meaningful, genuine relationships and the rest happens organically. I was 22 at the time and I thought, yeah, whatever. And yeah. I look back now and I just think like he was right. And it's what we do. And again, to, I guess, circle back to your comment about the social media and everything like that, like everything I do is public. Like I got people who years ago were telling me, oh, you don't want them to know about your kids and you don't want them to know about... I'm open book. I am who I am, unapologetically. Sometimes my humor hits the mark, sometimes it doesn't. Memes are for everybody. That you can never have enough memes. But it all helps to form a relationship. And whether I resonate with you or not, it's me. It's 100% me. And it's relationship based.
So, social media really works for you in generating business and all that sort of thing?
Oh, absolutely. For those who don't know my story about being on the block, I was enlisted to be an auctioneer on the block because of my social media presence. You know, the abridged version is Jess and Aiden, the couple from the Gold Coast, were getting ready to strip back the apartment that they had. And they had a bit of a group huddle with the trades that were in the room. And one of the guys who lives on the border of New South Wales and Victoria follows Benson Auctions on social media, played one of my videos into the middle of the group huddle. The rest is history. They gave me a call. It allows me to influence my local marketplace. Like there are mums and dads shopping owners, you know, kids who are looking at leaving home for the first time, and they jump onto my Benson Auctions page and they want to talk about the rail in the Hills District, or they want to talk about, you know, the redevelopment around the Showground Road precinct. It's incredible, but my social has become a bit of a water cooler for local commentary. And I mean, what more could you want for it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it should be.
Yep.
So, what are your goals for the future? What's next for Super Stu Benson?
I don't know. I've got to stop wearing that shirt that says Super Stu Benson, don't I? Yeah, Super Stu.
That's a meme.
It isn't. Okay. All right. You're on. You're on. Next one. I just think I'm really happy with the way that Benson Auctions is going as a business. I don't have lofty aspirations to take over the world. I keep getting other agents saying to me, when are you going to branch out and put other auctioneers on? And to be honest, I just want me to be my brand, and I just don't know if anybody else is going to entrust my brand and treat my brand the way that it should be. And a lot of the time, I guess the poison chalice with what I do is that I am sold to a vendor. So, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, we've got Stu. We're going to use Stu, and Stu's going to turn up at your house. So, if Stu doesn't turn up in 4 weeks' time and it's going to be Brad, and Brad's been auctioning for 6 months and won the Novice Auctioneers competition, it's not Stu Benson. It's not. And I know that I just spoke about myself in the third person. I do apologize. but it's not. And so, in terms of quality, in terms of brand and pride I have, there's only so much I can do. And I'm fine with that. I don't need to own 10 houses. I don't need to be holidaying 6 months a year. That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm the son of two small business owners who did 7 days a week and rolled up their sleeves. So, that's been my influence. So, look, just staying the course, but also just spreading the good gospel, I guess, of the process and just making sure that as many people as possible are trusting it. And if it means that I'm doing night times in vendor meetings and, you know, late nights doing reserve setting meetings and things like that, it's my passion. So, as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing, yeah, I'm a happy boy.
Yeah. And then it's not work, right?
And then it's not work. And then the payoff is that, you know, I get paid to do what I love. And again, I see people go, and no disrespect to it. You know, I got my brother's a pool plumber and he digs trenches. hammers, and every time I catch up with him, he's got an aching back and things like that. Like, you know what? I got pretty clean nails, and you know, I'm pretty happy to do what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Stu, I thought we'd have a bit of fun today. Like, apart from playing a bit of Trust the Process, okay,
you've got a piece of paper there.
Buzzword bingo. Yep, I thought we might play the word association game.
Right. Do we have a beep out buzzer in case anything that comes out of my mouth is regretful?
Well, we'll keep an ear out for that. But I haven't done this since Rick Rushton 12 months ago. So
yeah.
At Christmas. Yeah, this is normally a Christmas thing, but it's special having you in the office.
So I'm in elite company, with Sir Rick.
With Sir Rick, that's right.
Wonderful.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a word or a phrase, and you're going to say the first thing that comes into your mind.
Okay, so for those listening, slightly nervous.
Okay. We'll start gently. Facebook.
Essential.
Mortgage broker.
Oh, critical.
The banks.
Difficult.
The Bachelor.
Amazing.
Breaking news.
You're not breaking it.
Interest rates.
Not breaking.
The Block.
Call me.
Scripts and dialogues.
Fundamental.
Artificial intelligence.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
I just wanted to say artificial intelligence because everyone says
it. It's the buzzword, right? Like, it wouldn't be a list if you didn't.
It wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't say it.
No. AI, watch this space.
Influencer.
Stu Benson.
Uber of real estate.
Oh, stop. This is... Oh, wow. Buzzword. This is a setup.
Awards.
I can't give one. Is it meant to be one word rapid fire or just my rapid thoughts?
Rapid thoughts.
Okay. Take them for what you will.
Bucket list.
UK. That's, I've got to get myself back over the UK. 90% of my family is based in Wales and I just don't see them. I talk to them on Facebook. It feels like I see them, but I don't. I need to go there. I've got to go back. I haven't been there for 20 years.
So, your family can all sing? Because I hear
they
that
can.
All Welsh people can sing.
They can. That's as can I. Can you not hear fact. The tenor in my voice as I'm giving this podcast?
We have sung on this podcast.
I have a voice and a head for radio. Yep.
Okay. Real estate hero.
Oh, wow. Wow. I can't give you a rapid answer to that. There are so many for so many different reasons. I genuinely find tiny little pieces of inspiration everywhere. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give you a pass. It's a tough question, and I genuinely mean that. There are so many great operators that I deal with, but I've crossed paths with. It's tough to give you one.
Should be illegal.
Private treaty.
Hoverboarding.
Back to the Future.
Friend.
Rachel.
Love.
Was I meant to tell you my favorite friend?
It's all right.
I liked Ross, but he got annoying. So, what was it?
Love.
It's so important.
Bitcoin.
I'm still holding. I can't afford to sell.
Daylight saving.
Make it annual.
The ashes.
Could not care less.
Happiness.
Is probably the most important thing in life.
Stu Benson, thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. I'll have to get back to you on my hero, my real estate industry hero. I'll do that off air so that I don't offend anybody. I love you all.
Be waiting.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.